Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Friday edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today, for the next 90 minutes, we're going to be talking about a very sobering topic. We are going to be talking about 2020, the year that the whole world was set on fire, as God begins to prepare the earth and its people for judgment. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we are going to review many of the key elements that have taken place since January 1st of 2020 and remind ourselves of exactly how this is a year that has been unprecedented in human history. There have been so many things taking place that it's easy to forget just how much has gone on. Not only does it look like God has begun the process of judging the earth and its inhabitants, it looks like it's going to get worse, much worse. The purpose of today's program, we don't want to make you afraid, not at all, but we want to accomplish two distinct and necessary goals. The first thing that we want to do with today's program, if you're lost, we want to warn you about the coming judgment of God. And I think we can all agree, saved or lost, that at least on some level, it certainly looks like God has begun to judge the earth in 2020. Second, we want to encourage the saints, and as the book of Hebrews says, to provoke them to love and good works. If you're a born-again child of God, we want to remind you that time is not only running out, it's almost gone. I hope you will tune in today, not just obviously if you're listening to the program you've already tuned in, but I am hoping that you are going to tune in today to what we're talking about and to really begin to understand that we are living in the days of prophecy. So many times during our radio programs in 2019, I began to use the expression that 2020 was going to be the year of prophecy. And I don't know why I started saying that. It sounded good. It felt good. It felt right. It felt true. But now, 7 months, almost 8 months into this year, I can see that God was preparing me. And I hope he's been preparing you as well, because what comes next, if you're a born-again child of God, what comes next is the rapture of the church, of course. But after that, we have an unavoidable destination with the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ a little bit today. Not a judgment on sin, not a judgment on salvation, but a judgment on the works that you either did or did not do after God saved you and you became born again. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on today's program. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the food on the table. We thank you for the clothes on our back and the roof over our head. God, I thank you for this beautiful brand new NTEB studio that you have provided through the generous giving of your people, Lord, and by people getting burdened about these end times, and here we are, and we are ready. The supply lines have been created, and the battle lines have been drawn, and here we are, Lord, and we're ready, and we are waiting. We are looking for that blessed hope from Titus 2:13, absolutely. And at the same time, we are prepared to fight on the front lines right up to the moment that you call us up and out of here on Flight 777. And, Lord, I ask you to bless this program today and bring to my memory the things you want me to talk about and remove the things that you don't, Lord. Make me forget the things that you don't want me to talk about today. And I just pray for everybody who's listening, saved or lost, that this program would be a blessing to you. And if you are lost, I pray that something would be said and done that would lead you to a saving relationship in Jesus Christ. And I just ask all these things and commit this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. I have been asked by multiple people today, will the Flight 777 shirts, the Titus 213 airline shirts, will they be ready for sale today? Absolutely. And we're going to launch it here before I make it public to the rest of the world. I'm going to release that link to you guys towards the end of the program. And the shirts are amazing. That's all I can say. I really feel that God allowed us to capture the graphical look and feel, what the shirts are made out of. I'm wearing one right now. It's not a Flight 777 shirt, but I like the material that it was made out of so much that when I had my new Mudflower shirts made for the studio here, I had the shirts made from the same material as the Flight 777 shirts, and I'm telling you, it is the most comfortable shirt you will ever wear in your life. And we have it in small, medium, large, 2X, 3X, men's, and women's. So towards the end of the broadcast today, I'm going to put that link into the chat room. And if you're listening to this on YouTube or in the archives, that has already been done. And you are living in the future, and you can just go to nowtheendbegins.com and click on the link, and you can purchase that for yourself. But for those of us living in the present, at 12:07 p.m. on August 21st of 2020, we are here, and we are awaiting that blessed hope. That's what we're waiting for. And so today I wanted to talk about the craziness of this year, the absolute undiluted craziness of what's been going on. Now, what sparked my interest in doing this program on 2020 was a picture that I saw on Twitter yesterday, and it was this amazing picture of the California wildfire out in front of the senior center, and the fire was raging out of control. It literally looked like the pit of hell. And that's exactly what California has been experiencing. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how they're going through lockdowns and pandemics and rolling blackouts and all sorts of crazy things. And on top of that, they have this massive wildfire. But take a look at the picture, and I'm going to put it into the chat room. Take a look at the picture that was captured just the other day, and see for yourself the amazing message that's in that photo. You see that the fire is raging around a senior center, and it says, wear a mask, wash your hands, social distance, stay safe. Come join us. And that sign is engulfed in flames. And if you want to talk about an amazing metaphor for what type of year that 2020 has been, that picture, that sign engulfed in those raging flames, that to me says 2020 graphically more than just about anything else that I could think of. Because here we are with the mandated mask wearing. Remember when they said that masks would not be mandated, and then they became mandated? Remember when they said that the lockdown was only going to be a 15-day window? And I think somebody said that we're in day number 160 of that 15-day window, which is kind of insane. And remember when they said that the vaccine was not going to be mandatory, and now we're starting to see that the vaccine is absolutely going to be mandatory. And I want to just, you know, I really want you guys to be mentally prepared for everything that's coming along. I'm not going to tell you whether you should or should not take the vaccine, Because if I do that, then if you do what I tell you to do with the vaccine, and for whatever reason it doesn't work out the way that you want it to, whether you do take it or don't take it because I told you to, I don't want you to blame me if you're not happy with the results that you get. But I have no problem in saying that I personally will not be taking a vaccine for COVID. I personally will not be taking a flu shot. I personally will not allow any of that poison into my body. Now, you do as the Lord leads you. You're all smart people, and I mean that sincerely. If you're a regular listener to this program, you have a pretty good brain because we challenge you. And when we do our Wednesday night and Sunday night Bible studies, man, oh man, we go through dozens and dozens and dozens of scriptures. We're Old Testament, New Testament. We're connecting Matthew and Daniel and Jeremiah and Habakkuk and Revelation, and we're all over the place. So if you come here on a regular basis, and I mean this sincerely, you have above average intelligence, because you wouldn't stay here if you didn't, because it would be too hard to follow. And so for the thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of you who come here on a regular basis and you read our stories and you participate in these podcasts and Bible studies, you are definitely not stupid people. You're smart people. So I want you to use the brain that God gave you, and then I want you to ask God, should you be taking this vaccine? Should you be it almost sounds like a rhetorical question, and I'm laughing as I say it because it's so silly. Should you be taking the digital identification that's going to come with the vaccine? Now, it may not come with the first round of the vaccines. It may not come with the second round of the vaccines. But as sure as I'm sitting here and as sure as you're listening right now, I guarantee you that at some point, the vaccine is going to have a digital identification component, and at some point, it's going to be implantable. It may not be the first round, it may not be the second round, but it is coming. You can absolutely bank on it. It is going to happen. Now, we did an article yesterday. Coalition of over 2,700, and I call them Laodicean evangelicals, join forces to urge Christians to not resist the coming COVID vaccine and implantable biometric ID. Now, I was sent this article by a very faithful NTEB reader, and the second that I clicked on that link, and I read the story that he had sent me, it is, well, there is a side of me where I absolutely expect stories like this, but on the other side of the fence, even my jaw was scraping the ground. Evangelicals are not Bible believers. Evangelicals are those people that lead the fight to get rid of the King James Bible. Evangelicals are the ones that want to include the LGBTQ plus P for pedophile as part of the church. The evangelicals, like Rick Warren, are the ones that make a league with the Roman Catholic Church and water it down and confuse people. The evangelical movement in America is a corrupt, lukewarm, very bad sect of Christianity. I am not an evangelical. I wouldn't be one if you put a gun to my head. I am a Bible believer, and I am not lukewarm. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, but guess what? I always try to be as hot as I can possibly be. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be even mildly hot. I want to be as hot for the Lord in these times as I possibly can. And the only way that you can do that is you've got to stir yourself up. You've got to open your King James Bible. You've got to read it, believe it, memorize it, hide it in your heart. The Bible says, "Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee." And it's not just the type of sins, drinking, smoking, fornicating, and those type of sins. But there is a sin of unbelief. There is a sin of slothfulness. There is a sin of Laodicean lukewarmness. Don't be part of that crowd. Don't be part of that crowd. So this group of 2,700 evangelicals, and they have banded together under the auspices of a group called Biologos, BIOLOGOS.org. And their mission statement, we are urging Christians to wear masks, get vaccinated, correct misinformation, work for social justice, and pray. Now, I went to this website that this good brother sent to me yesterday, and I began to check it out. And I began to see what they believe. And you know what they believe? The very first thing that I came across at the BioLogos site is they believe in evolutionary creation. That is, God set things in motion and everything evolved. And that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a complete, God didn't make Adam as a baby. He made him as a 33-year-old man. God didn't make Eve as a small child. God didn't make trees as seeds that somehow had to grow to be fully formed. When you read Genesis chapter 1 and you see about the 6 days of creation and the seventh day of rest, you see that God made things fully formed and he made them complete. So there is no such thing as evolutionary creation. Where does that come from? It comes from the Roman Catholic Church. It's exactly where it comes from. So this group, BioLogos, and they represent, they say, 2,700 Laodicean evangelicals. Laodicean is my word, but it's very accurate, and I stand by it. If you're a member of BioLogos, you can feel free to send me an email, and you can tell me that you don't like me calling you a Laodicean, but that's exactly what you are. And not only do they teach and preach evolutionary creation, which is the heresy, BioLogos was started by the director, the health director of the NIH, a man by the name of Francis Collins, and his website calls him a devout Christian geneticist. And they want to have conversations about the harmony between science and biblical faith. But what did the Apostle Paul tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21? You don't catch the Bible by surprise, all right? The King James Bible, this world still hasn't yet caught up with the King James Bible. And 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit anticipated the modern day, the end times love of science over the Bible. And the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to write these words, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. That's 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21. So, what do we have here? Why was this story yesterday important? That 2,700 evangelicals have combined together around a foundation that teaches evolutionary creation and other heresies. At some point, I might even do an entire program on these people. But for the purposes of today's program, they have decided that their mission, in addition to teaching evolution, their mission is to convince and to urge other Christians to take the vaccine And they don't mention the implantable biochip, but you know it's coming. I know it's coming. We've been talking about it for a long time. So let me just read to you a couple of sentences from their mission statement called A Christian Statement on Science for Pandemic Times. It almost sounds like this is the Christian Scientist sect that we're dealing with. They seem to be very, very similar to Christian Science. We, the undersigned, join together as Christians who uphold the authority of God's Word and see science as a tool to understand God's world. So right off the bat, they want you to know that if you want to understand the world that God created, you need science to do that. And that is not true. You need a King James Bible to do that. You need to be saved so that you have the Holy Spirit who can teach you the Bible to do that. Science does not play a factor in validating the Bible. Here we are in 2020, and over the last 130 years, God has allowed mankind to make some amazing advancements in science and medicine and technology. But all of the advancements that science has made, science is still not caught up yet with the King James Bible. The lowly, old, dusty, archaic, out of date, they say, King James Bible. Science hasn't even caught up with that yet. So the idea that you would need science to understand God's Word, that's a false premise, but that's their opening sentence. So you can see very, very clearly where they're going. And then they say, it is appropriate for Christians to be skeptical of claims made by scientists who speak outside of their area of expertise. But then it goes on to say, but Christians should listen to scientists and doctors when they speak in their area of expertise, especially when millions of lives are at stake. Now, if that was true, that we should listen to scientists and doctors when they are speaking in their area of expertise, then how is it that people like Anthony Fauci, who just 4 months ago, just a few months ago, he was telling people that you do not need to wear a mask. You don't believe me? You don't believe that Anthony Fauci said that? Well, take a listen.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now in the United States, 4.5 months ago, Anthony Fauci said, people in America do not need to be wearing masks. And you just heard the interviewer said, are you sure? Are you sure that we don't need to be wearing masks? I mean, he can't believe what he's hearing Fauci say. So he asked Fauci for a clarification on that statement. And here is the clarification.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers.
So right there, and if you were listening to the tone of his voice and how he says things like, well, maybe masks will block a droplet or whatever, that sounds to me like the words of somebody who's really just making up something on the spot. Well, we all know that in a matter of months, Anthony Fauci reversed his position on mask wearing, and now it's gotten so bad that you can't even go out and get a cheeseburger or grocery shopping without, in every single state, I think except maybe for Georgia, but in just about every state in the country, we have mandatory mask wearing. Joe Biden, as he accepted the nomination of his party last night on that ridiculous, ridiculous, low-budget DNC convention that they had that was just, I mean, I don't have network television. I didn't watch it in real time, but the clips that I did watch, it was laughable and it was sad and it was pathetic, really. But Joe Biden said last night that if you elect him president, he is going to pass an executive order that is going to make mask wearing mandatory on the federal level. So, what's happening here? What's happening in 2020? Things have gotten so crazy. COVID and coronavirus, they're never going away. If you're waiting for that moment that we're going to be out in front of this crisis, it's not ever going to happen. The New World Order has realized that they have finally come up with the proper combination of things that the world has agreed to, and now you have world governments, not just here in America, but all around the world. You see this happening in Australia and in New Zealand, where they're debating right now whether or not to make vaccines mandatory. And in every government around the world, you're seeing the same thing, all right? What you are seeing is the entire world being reset. And we told you about that a couple of months ago, and we wrote that article called The Great Reset. And that's exactly what's happening. And they are getting rid of every way that we used to live our life. It has now been reset. It's been reconfigured. Everything is now seen in the filter of COVID-19. And if there's anything that you, I watched a video yesterday and it showed downtown New York City and it showed block after block, I mean dozens and dozens of city blocks. And if you've ever walked through New York City, I used to live there, I used to go to college there. If you've ever walked through New York City, you know that one city block is really, really pretty big. I mean, it's very big. But they showed dozens of city blocks, and store after store is empty and they're closed. And the office buildings are empty and they're closed. And everybody is now working at home. And what are they doing? They are dividing the people. Now, it may be more enjoyable for some people to work at home wearing their pajamas than to go into an office, and I get that, but that's not why they're doing it. Every single major corporation in New York City has sent their people home, and building after building that used to have a couple of thousand people in the office building now has nobody. And the rich people who live there are fleeing at an absolutely unprecedented rate of speed. I saw an article yesterday where there's this moving company in New York City, and they said that people are moving out of New York City so fast that they are in the position that they have to turn business away. They don't have the resources to provide moving trucks for everybody who wants to get out. And New York City is being decimated. Now, why is that important? Well, because if you really want to bring in the New World Order, you've got to get rid of very wealthy, prosperous areas. And that's what they're doing. And they're using the... Now, like I've always said, and I'll repeat it for the people who like to quote me out of context, coronavirus is a real virus. People have, I believe that the number of people that they say have died from it are massively inflated. I don't think it's 174,000 people. I think it's maybe closer to 60 or 70,000 people. But be that as it may, it's a real virus, and you have to really protect yourself, and you have to make sure that you're keeping your immune system strong. You have to make sure that you're taking vitamin D3, zinc, B complex, vitamin C. You have to make sure that you're doing all of these things to keep your immune system strong. But that being said, it is also a virus that has been weaponized. Now, do you remember when this virus started and they were predicting that it was going to kill literally millions and millions and millions of people? And they gave us all these scenarios that the hospitals were going to be overrun and our struggling infrastructure system was going to absolutely collapse. And they said that the only way to take care of this situation is that there had to be a global lockdown. Well, I read an article a couple of days ago, and it talked about how coronavirus collapsed the world economies. Coronavirus did not collapse the world economies. Coronavirus did not collapse the American economy. People collapsed the American economy. People like Fauci, people like Dr. Birx, people like the World Health Organization, people like Bill Gates, those people like George Soros, those people are the people that collapsed the American economy by shutting it down. And when you see all around the world, all these different economies, and they're saying that they will never recover, and when they do come back, it's going to be coming back as something that's very, very, very different than what it was before. And that video that I was watching about New York City, they were saying that it is at this point, it is almost impossible that New York City would come back the way that it was as the world's financial center. And this has all been part of the calculated plan, but this plan could only be possible because God allowed it to take place. Now, for those of you who have been regular readers of Now the End Begins, you will remember that back in 2015, 2016, I wrote an article where I said that, in my opinion, and I even put it in the opinion section of the article that I wrote, in my opinion, that Donald Trump was going to be elected president and that he was going to win in a landslide. And that's exactly what I said back, and let me just pull the article up, and just stick with me. There's a reason why I am drawing your attention to this. Yeah, February 13th of 2016, I wrote an article called Why a Bible Believer is Supporting Donald Trump for President of the United States. And I took a lot of heat at the time. People told me he never could win. They gave me all the reasons why he was a terrible candidate and blah, 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 blah. But that wasn't the point that I was making. The point that I was making was that I felt, and again, it was my opinion, and this is what I wrote. I wrote this: predictions for the 2 cents they are worth. As I see it, Donald Trump will be the far and away winner for the Republican nomination for president. And I said, hands down. And the article goes on to say that I thought, in my opinion, that he would win in a landslide. And he did. He won with 33% of the Electoral College. And if you have a 33% victory by any calculation, that's a landslide. And he did. And people laughed at me at the time, and they said that I was crazy, and I stuck by my guns, and we all know how that worked out. Donald Trump won in an absolute landslide. He defied all the odds, and there were not a whole lot of us who made that statement months and months and months before the election took place. I made my statement officially on February 13th of 2016, and I just put that link for you in the chat room. And if you're not in the chat room, you can just go to nowtheendbegins.com, and you can use our handy-dandy news search feature, which will pull any article that we've done up, and it's really, really cool. You should give it a try. Then the second article that I wrote about this topic, I talked about something called the global shaking. And again, people were a little bit confused. They didn't know why I was saying that. They didn't know why I would be connecting a global shaking with Donald Trump. Now, the Democrats and the liberals, they all thought that America was going to be shaken by Donald Trump because they don't like him. But that's not, I didn't call for a shaking of America. I said it was going to be a global shaking. And that's, here we are 3.5 years later, and the entire world is absolutely shaking. At its very core, at its very foundations, and everything is being ripped down and torn down. They call it the Great Reset, and that's exactly what we are in the middle of right now. In Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we read this: "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, when we rightly divide that, Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, when we rightly divide that, what do we see? That is talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. That is talking about the Battle of Armageddon at the Second Coming, where God is going to shake the world, about what we read about in Joel chapter 2 and Joel chapter 3. And the sun and the moon are going to go dark, and withdraw, and the stars will withdraw their shining. And that's what's going to be happening during that time period. But we're seeing a warm-up to that time happening right now. So, in February of 2016, I said, in my opinion, that Donald Trump was going to win in a landslide. And he did. And then in December of 2016, I said that a Trump presidency was going to bring about a global shaking, and it has. He is at the center of this entire crisis around the world. Not for anything that he has done or not done, because that's the way that God wants it to be. I believe that God put Donald Trump into office to accomplish things related to Bible prophecy, to accomplish things related to the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, and to judge the world. And I, you know, everybody was so excited, and all the Christians and conservatives and Republicans, when Trump won, and everybody said, going to make America great again. That's not why God put Donald Trump into office. Has nothing to do with making America great again. And you'll notice that during the first 3 years of Trump's presidency, the economy skyrocketed, and it went up higher than it's ever gone. And then in the blink of an eye, God tore the whole thing down. Now we have massive unemployment, such as was not seen since the Great Depression. We have, and it's just starting to happen now, the foreclosures and the people not paying rent and the people not paying credit cards and everybody defaulting on loans and payments. That is what's happening right now. And that great Make America Great Again economy that Donald Trump, he absolutely kept that promise. He absolutely did that. And then God snapped his fingers and took the whole thing away. It's gone. And why? Because Donald Trump was not elected for the greatness of America. God put Donald Trump into office for judgment of the world, including America. And if that makes you mad, well, that's really just the way it is, because there is no other way to look at what's been going on other than that. Now, I talked earlier about the DNC convention, and it was really, really, really bad. It was the video clips that I watched were literally almost too cringeworthy to even get through. It was probably the worst produced political event by professionals that I have ever seen in my entire life. It was absolutely very, very badly done, very poorly done. And you could see everybody's talking about Joe Biden's great acceptance speech. And I thought, wow, what did I miss? And I went and I listened to a minute of it, and it was terrible. And his voice was cracking and shaking. And the only reason why he was even keeping a straight thought in his head, because he was reading it off the teleprompter. And then he stumbled towards the end because he literally is losing his mind. And they are using him as a Trojan horse to get Kamala Harris into the presidency. And I mean, it is just terrible what's going on. But that's not the point of why I bring that up. The point of why I bring that up is because over all four nights of the Democratic National Convention, not a single person mentioned the hundreds of millions of dollars in damage that were done in the riots that have swept across the entire nation, those same riots that spread to Europe and Australia and New Zealand. Nobody talked about the massive loss of income and businesses by mom-and-pop business owners, most of them people of color, minority and female-owned businesses. Not a single person, for a single moment, over the last four nights, mentioned any of that. They didn't mention the 12 people that were killed by Antifa and Black Lives Matter soldiers. They didn't mention the two women that were raped over in Seattle during the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. They didn't mention any of that. And now I want to play a clip for you that's going to make you really, really mad. How many of you know the name Cannon Hinnant? Have you ever heard of a person by the name of Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N, Hinnant, H-I-N-N-A-N-T? It's highly likely you have not heard that person's name. And there's a reason why you have not heard that person's name, and I'm going to give you that reason right now. Listen to this.
Cannon Hinnant was shot and killed Sunday night while his family said he was just playing in his front yard with his sisters. His funeral is happening tonight at 7. Police ultimately tracked down the suspect in his death, Darius Sessoms. A day later, Sessoms is charged with murder.
The suspect came running across the lawn, came up to the little boy who was on the bike, and shot him in the head, his two sisters looking on. His mother tells us he was always smiling and loved his family.
Archer's Road covered with police cars, neighbors looking on in disbelief.
One neighbor across the street tells us that the two had dinner together Friday night and that the suspect was even over at the victim's house yesterday afternoon.
Cannon's mom wrote on Facebook, "My baby didn't see color. My baby made sure you knew he loved you, even if he only knew you 5 minutes. I don't care what damn color you were."
Now, I'll just stop that right there for a moment. Cannon Hinnant was a 5-year-old boy, and he was a white boy. his killer was a 27-year-old black man. And here you have the mother who is so, her son was murdered. Her 5-year-old son was literally shot in his head with a handgun by a 27-year-old black man. And this mother who's grieving, she's terrified that there's going to be Black Lives Matter rioters coming to her house for who knows why they would do that. So here she's saying she just made her case why her now dead, murdered 5-year-old son wasn't a racist. That to me is the saddest part of the whole thing. Her son gets murdered, and now she has to defend a 5-year-old boy and just to remind people he wasn't a racist. This is the world that we live in.
And his grandmother asked, when are we going to write Children's Lives Matter on Hollywood Boulevard? Sessoms, who neighbors say had dinner with Cannon's father the night before the shooting, has a criminal record with firearms and drug convictions. Cannon's mom says she hopes Sessoms rots in hell.
If you go on Twitter right now, you can see that the hashtag say his name is trending. I want you to go to all of your media outlets that you normally watch and ask them why they're not reporting this story.
The bizarre thing about it is it's not being reported on by any major outlets. I checked them this morning just to see if anyone had covered it, and just nothing.
My question is, where is the media outcry? Why hasn't no mainstream media picked this news up yet?
I mean, I don't see any protest for this little boy. But since it's 2020 and everything's about race, if this man was white and this little boy was black, you'd see this all over the media. The media don't want you to know because of color. Color stands in the way of this one.
You probably have not heard of this event because the majority of the mainstream media has failed to report on it. And the reason the majority of the mainstream media has failed to report on it is because it doesn't fit their political narrative.
Why do you think the media is ignoring this story?
And I believe the media is overlooking it intentionally. The media is bypassing this story simply because it does not fit their narrative. If this had been a white on black crime or a police on black crime, you would see extensive media coverage. But because it's black on white crime and something this horrific, this tragic, they refuse to cover it.
Can you explain why he would shoot your 5-year-old boy?
I have no idea why he would kill my son in front of his two sisters, his cousin. No idea.
He says that was the boy's father, and he says that he has no idea why that man would kill his 5-year-old son. Well, I have no idea why the mainstream media ignored that story. I have no idea why not a single member of the Democratic Party over the last 4 nights, as they are nominating their candidates for president and vice president, I have no idea why not a single person mentioned the name of Cannon Hinnant, and why his murder goes unnoticed, unspoken, and I do know why. I know why, because the spirit that has risen in America, the spirit of Antichrist, which is here, which is part of God's judgment, the spirit of Antichrist has fallen over not just America, but over the entire world. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. And it's time to open your eyes to the fact that the spirit of Antichrist is here now. And we are at war, whether you want to be or not want to be. Take a listen to this clip from Tucker Carlson talking about Black Lives Matter riots. And I want you to listen to what he's saying in light of that clip that I just played for you about the murder of Cannon Hinnant. Take a listen to Tucker Carlson talking about the truth behind Black Lives Matter.
This may be a lot of things, this moment we're living through, but it is definitely not about black lives. And remember that when they come for you, and at this rate they will. Anyone who's ever been subjected to the rage of the mob knows the feeling. It's like being swarmed by hornets. You cannot think clearly. And the temptation is to panic. But you can't panic. You've got to keep your head and tell the truth. Tell the truth. If you show weakness of any kind, they will crush you. The indiscriminate use of violence by mobs is a threat to every American of all colors and backgrounds and political beliefs. Democracy cannot exist when people are rioting. Rioting is a form of tyranny.
So there you have Tucker Carlson giving you the truth about Black Lives Matter. And yet, we just had the Democratic Party nominate, now he was called a racist, by the way, for those exact comments that he just made. I took from a video from Huffington Post where they had graphics and they had words on the screen calling, they said that Tucker was a racist and he was making racially charged and racially tinged statements. Nothing that Tucker Carlson said that I just played for you is racist on any level of any kind. Cannon Hinnant is dead. And the mainstream media, who does nothing but ram race down our throats 24 hours a day, refuses to even mention the name of Cannon Hinnant. Why? Because he was a white person who was killed by a black person. And his life doesn't matter. To the mainstream media, the life of Cannon Hinnant does not matter. To the Democratic Party, the life of Cannon Hinnant does not matter. Now, why do I say that? I say that because I want to remind you that we are living in a time that we are going to see great persecution. We are going to see great unrest, even much more. What we've seen so far is just a warm-up. It is not going away. And what I'm about to say is going to be a little hard to listen to, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I always try to tell you guys the truth, even if it's hard to listen to. The reason why I mentioned those articles to you that I had written back in February and December of 2016, where I wrote the first article because God really laid on my heart that Trump would win in a landslide. And believe me when I tell you that it was hard for me to write that article, because when you go on record with something like that and it doesn't happen, well, then you join a club that is not a very fun club to be a member of. I prayed about it, and I really felt that that's what I was supposed to write about, and I did, and I was pleasantly surprised, but not really, because I really felt it in my heart that that would happen. But it was still, it was shocking to watch it actually come to pass. And then when I wrote the article about the global shaking, again, because I really felt it in my heart, and at the time that I wrote the article, I'm thinking to myself, am I overreaching here? Am I overstretching? Am I being a little too dramatic? I mean, how could Donald Trump shake the whole world? But that's three and three quarters years later, that's exactly what we see, that God has been using Donald Trump to shake the entire world. And that shaking is, it's not even close to dying down. They're now talking about mandatory mask wearing until spring of 2021. With each prediction that they make, things get pushed farther and farther into the future, and it's depressing is what it is, but it's also judgment. So I wrote the first article where I said Trump would win in a landslide, and he did. I wrote the second article where I said that God would use Trump to shake the entire world, the global shaking, and he did. He is. Well, the third article that I'm getting ready to write, and please keep me in prayer about this. I don't know. I do know why. But I feel in my spirit that the enemies of God and the enemies of Trump and the enemies of liberty and freedom and decency and all things holy, the same people who could watch Cannon Hinnant be shot in the head as a five-year-old boy, and they don't even have the decency to even mention him on a broadcast. I really feel in my spirit, I feel very grieved. I feel very distressed for President Trump. And with each passing week, it feels more and more like there's going to be an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And I know people have said those things, and there was somebody sent me some links a couple of months ago where it talked about have they already tried to take him out? And I read those links, and they were interesting, but I couldn't really find something conclusive. But this feeling, I can't shake it, that they are going to try to take out the president, and especially if he wins in November. It's almost a guarantee at that point, because there will be no other way to stop him. The Democrats and the socialists and the Marxists and the all the rest of those people, the Nancy Pelosi's and George Soros and Hillary Clinton, they absolutely cannot take another 4 years of President Trump. And just the same way that they killed Jeffrey Epstein. If you remember, Jeffrey Epstein was the good friend of Hillary Clinton. And I didn't write about it, but just a couple of days ago, the Daily Mail talked about how Bill Clinton was getting a massage from one of his victims, one of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, and the connection is absolutely there. The record logs show that Bill Clinton was on the Lolita Express over 26 different times, and him and Hillary would stay at Epstein's ranch and all sorts of connections. But this is what Hillary Clinton said on The Daily Show less than 24 hours after Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his jail cell. This is how she spoke about her good friend and former business associate, Jeffrey Epstein.
We're joined by Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton and Chelsea Clinton, who co-wrote the book of Gutsy Women. Hillary, I have to ask you a question that has been plaguing me for a while. How did you kill Jeffrey Epstein? Because you're not in power, but you have all the power. I really need to understand how you do what you do. Because you seem to be behind everything nefarious, and yet you do not use it to become president. What is the game plan?
Well, Trevor,
I'll stop that right there. I've played that clip for you before. You've heard that before. I just wanted to remind you. Would you be laughing like that if somebody who was your business associate, somebody who was your good friend, somebody who you've had meals with dozens and dozens of times, somebody that you've flown on his airplane dozens and dozens of times, would you be mocking and laughing and joking about the death of your good friend less than 24 hours after he was found dead in his cell? And she's on a comedy show trying to deflect attention away from her because she knows right away that people are going to rightly and accurately connect her and Bill with the death of their friend Jeffrey Epstein, so he couldn't talk. And she's laughing about it. She thinks it's funny. And if you watch the video, she is grinning from ear to ear. Now, I played that clip because I need you to understand that those are the same people who just nominated Joe Biden last night, the same people who refused to mention the name of Cannon Hinnant, the same people who talk about how racism is destroying America, and they are the ones that are promoting the racism. They are the ones who are encouraging. 12 people were killed in the Black Lives Matter riots. 12 people were killed, and they didn't mention a single one of the names of those people, like David Dorn, the retired black policeman who was trying to help his friend who owned a pawn shop, and he volunteered to stand guard at that shop as the riots came through town. And 7 Black Lives Matter youths, they broke into that store, they looked at David Dorn face to face, they pulled out a gun, they shot him in the head multiple times, and then they laughed and stepped over his dead and bleeding body after they killed him. Now, do you think that you're ever going to hear about that from the Democrats? You won't. But that is the spirit of Black Lives Matter. And that's why they never mention the name of David Dorn. Because David Dorn was not only a black man, he was a black police officer, retired. And he was shot and killed by members of Black Lives Matter. Do you see how disgusting all of this is? Do you see how dangerous all of this is? And if the Democrats, the very same Democrats who refuse to mention the name of Cannon Hinnant because it doesn't fit their narrative, do you think for a single second that these people are going to treat you well? Can you imagine what's going to happen if they get in power? It's going to be unbelievable. It is going to be literally like the early days of Nazi Germany. And when Adolf Hitler came into power in Nazi Germany, he began to do these things, these same type of things. Antifa, the original Antifa movement, is a movement that was created by Nazis in Nazi Germany. And I told you the story a couple of weeks ago, how Adolf Hitler got his brown shirts and his stormtroopers to burn down the Reichstag building in Germany, and then to blame it on the Jews and the communists, and then round those people up who didn't have anything to do with the burning down of the building. And then he was able to get past something called the Enabling Act, which gave him complete and total power as dictator legally in Nazi Germany. And that same spirit is here. Now, why has the mainstream media not told you these things? Why have they not told you about the dozen people who have been killed in the riots by the rioters? Why won't they talk about the names of the women who have been raped by the anti-fascist Antifa? Because those things don't fit the narrative. They are trying to sell you a bill of goods. They are trying desperately to take power from Donald Trump. And I believe, and again, I will couch this by saying this is my opinion, but I believe that the assassination attempt on Donald Trump is coming sooner rather than later. And we need to be in prayer for our president, because that is a very, very scary thing. I don't say that lightly. I understand that the FBI is listening to that, and I get that. And we need to be in prayer for our president that he does not meet that fate. But more and more, that's just what it feels like, and it feels like that's coming. And I pray to God that does not happen. And I hope that you will as well. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to we are going to draw all of these events into what you need to do as a born-again Christian to be ready and to be prepared for the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a judgment on your sin. If you're saved, you've already been judged, found guilty, sentenced to hell, pardoned, and set free by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is something very different. And we're going to talk about that when we get back. So stay with us. And we're back for the last half hour of today's Prophecy News podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And today, we have been talking about how 2020 is a year like no other. It is a year that we submit to you. The judgment of God has actively begun to fall, not just on America, but around the world as well. And in the first hour, we talked about reasons why that might be true. And I feel it. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my bones. I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my mind. I feel 100% convinced, beyond the shadow of any doubt, reasonable or otherwise, that we are watching the world being judged by God and being prepared for the time of Jacob's trouble that will take place after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. During the break, I saw some people chatting in the chat room, and they were talking about the great falling away and the man of sin being revealed. And if you're a regular listener here, you know exactly how we feel on both those things. You want the great falling away? Here it is.
Authenticity, humility. Pope Francis is the perfect example of this. He's doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. And as our new pope, he was very, very simple.
There you go. That's Rick Warren talking about how every single Christian on the face of the earth is under the authority of the Roman Catholic Pope. Well, Rick Warren, if you're listening, I have news for you. I am not under the authority of the Roman Catholic Pope. My mother is not Mary. And I have been born again and set free by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But Rick Warren he's one of those Laodicean evangelicals that we were talking about in the first hour. He's one of those people that sounds like a Christian if you don't listen too closely and likes to use a lot of good buzzwords. But he is, well, I'm not going to say he's not saved, but he is absolutely sold out to the other side. And we have documented on previous programs his long, long, long association with the Roman Catholic Church. We played a video for you, audio for you just the other day on how the Vatican created a 2-minute video where they had Rick Warren defending the Catholic tradition of praying to saints and praying to Mary and the Pope. So you want the great falling away? Here's another slice of it.
My spirit went up and I literally went to the throne room of God. I won't say much.
Good. That's all you're going to say, Paula. There you have Paula White talking about how she was physically taken up to heaven like the Apostle John and Paul were. And Paula White is the spiritual advisor for President Trump. He is surrounded by fake and phony evangelicals. And again, we talked about this in the first hour. I don't want to waste any time here. I am not an evangelical. I do not consider them Christians. I don't. I really, really don't. I consider them to be part of the great fall. Well, I guess they are Christians, but they are Christians that have absolutely sold out. And I'm not on their team. If you're an evangelical, you and I have nothing to talk about. You need to get right, you need to repent, and you need to get back on the right track. Absolutely, 100%. So, there you have the great falling away. Now, what about that man of sin being revealed? Again, if you listen to this program on a regular basis, you know that it's our opinion, we are not prophets here. We're just Bible believers who believe what they read, where they read it, in the context that they read it in. And our vote for the man of sin, hands down, nobody even in second place, is Emmanuel Macron. And go back and listen to some previous programs. We have devoted whole programs to Emmanuel Macron. Go back into the archives and take a listen to that. And I think that will be quite an eye-opener for you. So I don't think that there is anything at this moment standing between us and the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I think we're locked and loaded and ready to go. Now, I saw a comment, and I want to address it specifically. Let me see if I can find it here. Dr. Mador said, and I think she was just speaking, I think it's a she. I hope it's a she. If you're not a she, I apologize. But Dr. Mador in the chat room said, "I feel like hiding underground until the rapture comes. I can't take this life. It's hurting my heart. And that's a great comment. And the reason why that's a great comment is because the Bible says that in the end of times, that Antichrist is going to wear out the saints. Now, he knows that he can't get his hands on a single one of the 144,000 because they have been sealed with the mark of God in their foreheads. But in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, he'll be lawless, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times." And that's the great tribulation. So, when Satan knows that you're sealed and saved, and he can't get his hands on you, he does the next best thing, and he wears you out, and he wraps you up, and he frustrates you and aggravates you and gets you to the point where, if possible, he puts you on the sidelines. Now look, don't let the devil do that to you. Don't let it happen. I want to talk for a moment about the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." If today was your last day on earth, are you ready to meet Jesus Christ in the air and be taken to heaven and be taken to this place called the judgment seat of Christ? That is every saved believer's unavoidable destination. Now, I want you to be prepared for that day, and there is only one way to do it. Is you have to be willing to get in the game and to get in the fight and get something done for Jesus Christ. And that is why we put so much importance on gospel tracts and in studying the Bible. We have given out almost 6 cases of our Ruckman Reference study Bibles to people around the world. We mailed one out just yesterday. And they are free to anybody. If you want a good study Bible and you can't afford to buy one on, you know, if you honestly don't have the money to buy a good study Bible, send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. And anywhere you live in the world that the post office will deliver to, we are going to, and I say we, because it's not just me. This program exists because people have sent in money to create this program to buy the thousands and thousands of dollars and multiple thousands of dollars worth of Bibles. It costs $1,000 for 3 cases of Bibles. And we send them out for free. No charge for the shipping, no strings attached. We don't put you on a mailing list. I don't do anything with your email address. We send you these study Bibles free of charge. Why? Because we want you to learn the Word of God. And we want you to hand out gospel tracts. They work. We want you to witness to the lost people that God puts into your life. We want you to provoke the saints to love and to good works, as Hebrews says. And these are the things that you are going to be judged on at the judgment seat of Christ. Now look, when God saved me, I was an alcoholic. And when I went to AA, in one of those meetings, something was said that made me think I better go home and see if I can find that old King James Bible that my parents had downstairs in the basement. And I found that,
And I opened it up and I bowed my knees and I got saved 29 years ago. And for the vast majority of those 29 years, I have been sober. Now, I will not say that I've been sober the entire time, because I haven't. I have had a relapse or two over the last 29 years. But I am blissfully sober today, and have been for a little while now. And I understand what it's like to struggle with those things. And it can be rough and it can be tough. But I am not going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ on whether I stayed sober or not. I'm not going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for anything other than the works that I did or did not do since God saved me 29 years ago. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me tremble. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like, even the last 10 years of doing Now the End Begins. And when I stand before Jesus Christ and he takes everything that I've said and done in connection with this ministry and throws it into the fire, what's going to come out on the other end? I have no idea. I have no idea. But I tell you this, I am all in. And I want to get something done for the Lord, and I want you to get something done for the Lord as well. There are five crowns that you can earn. You can earn the incorruptible crown. You can earn the crown of rejoicing. You can earn the crown of righteousness. You can earn the crown of glory. And you can earn the crown of life. Now, the easiest crown that you can earn is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And all you have to do is look. All you have to do is look. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, that appearing that Paul is talking about is not the second coming, where Amos says, woe unto you that seek the day of the Lord, that look for the day of the Lord. No, that's not the coming that Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And he is saying that at that day, he's going to receive a crown, but not for him only, unto all the believers who love the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, do you love the appearing of Jesus Christ more than that person that you're looking forward to getting married to? Because if Jesus shows up at the rapture, that marriage may not happen. Maybe you're a newlywed couple and you're looking forward to raising children. Well, if that rapture happens before you can have those children, you don't get those children. Are you thinking about going into a business venture? Are you thinking about vacationing or traveling the world or doing some great thing for humanity? The rapture comes, none of that's going to take place. Will you be sad if you don't get that spouse, or you don't have the chance to become a mother or a father? You don't get the chance to raise those children? And for those of you who are parents, and you're looking forward to watching your children getting married and having kids of their own, if that rapture came today, you would not get to see that. Now, I have spoken with people over the years who said that that was a depressing thought for them, because they could not imagine what it would be like if they didn't get to finally have that spouse, or have those kids, or have that great job that they always dreamed about, or live in that big fancy house that they were thinking about. That rapture comes, you don't get any of that. But what do you get? You get Jesus Christ. Now, which would you rather have? And I know it's a rhetorical question, and you might be tempted to give the immediate answer, but I want you to think about it. Would you rather be taken up in the rapture than meet the love of your life and have 40, 50 blissful years of marriage and raise kids and have all those great things that everybody says is the American dream and is what everybody wants? Paul says that he counted all those things as loss for Christ. Philippians 3:13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul was willing to give up everything that he might have Christ. Are you? Well, that's how you get a crown. That's how you get any one of those crowns, is you have to want Christ, Jesus Christ. You have to want Jesus more than you want anything else. And if you do that, it's going to change your life right now. It's going to change your life before the rapture. And when you want Jesus more than anything else, you're going to witness. You're going to be bold. You're not going to be shy about your faith. You're going to get out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. That's what you will do. That's where revival comes from. When people get a vision, I'm not talking about a charismatic vision, when people get a vision for Jesus Christ and meeting him in the clouds and understanding that we are going to be judged on what we did or did not do for him, for his cause, for his name, we will be judged and we will be rewarded for whatever makes it through the fire, and we will suffer loss for the things that don't make it through. 1 Corinthians 3 says this in verses 9, 11 through 15. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, in concluding today's program, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And you need to trust Jesus Christ right here and right now. And not let not another day, not another hour, but not another minute go past before you cry out like the Philippian jailer who said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." If that's you, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. That's the most important thing that you can possibly do right now. But if you are saved, I want you to start thinking about the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to start thinking about how it's going to go for you when you get there after the glorious time of the rapture, and it will be glorious and it will happen. The Bible absolutely teaches the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and you can kick and scream and hem and haw, but when you fulfill 2 Timothy 2:15, there is only one conclusion that you can come to, and that the church is removed before the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, that is going to be a glorious day, and it's going to feel like The hometown football team just went all the way to the state finals and won after an undefeated season and played the championship game and played a shutout. That's what the rapture is going to feel like, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to be the best feeling you've ever had in your life. And then, when we all get to heaven, we're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ one by one. No crowds, nobody applauding, nobody cheering you. It's just going to be you and Jesus Christ, and there's going to be a fire pit, and it's going to be burning. And what's going into that fire pit is every work that you did or did not do for Jesus Christ from the moment he saved you. Now, I want you to be excited. I want you to be on fire for the Lord now. Get something done while time remains. Get gospel tracts. You can get them from Now the End Begins, and we love when you support us like that. But get them from anywhere. Get them from ChickTrack.com. Get them from the PBI bookstore. Get them from anywhere. But start telling lost people about Jesus Christ. Start being a blessing for the church. And I promise you that God will bless your efforts. This is why he's left you here. This is why he saved you. And if you do that, you're going to get a crown. I promise you, you're going to get a crown. Now, we're about at the end of our time for today, but I see in the chat room, people are excited. And why are they excited? Well, this is not only due, it is overdue. And we are ready with the Flight 777 on Titus 213 airline shirts. They are available for sale right now. And as I promised you, this link is not, I haven't posted it to the website. The link that I just put into the chat room, you are some of the very first people who have the chance to purchase these t-shirts. And we have spent so much time, and I prayed, God, let me make a shirt that you would be happy with. And I believe we have accomplished that. Beautiful, high-performance sweat wicking shirts. You can wear these shirts to play baseball or football. If you can wear these shirts to go jogging in, and yet they're nice enough. You can go out on a date. You can go out to dinner. You can still wear the same shirt and you will still look good. They are very, very, very high quality shirts and you will like that. I promise you. And on the back of it, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it has a link to our website. When you wear this shirt, you are going to start conversations wherever you go. People are going to say, what's Flight 777? And we designed the logo to make it look like a real airline. And when you look at the back of the graphic that we have on the back of the shirt, we created this vector image of this big airliner taking off over the clouds and into outer space, where we're going to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. And we completely branded an airliner with Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. And when you wear this shirt, you are going to start conversations with saved people and lost people. And this will be a great way for you to witness. Now, you buy the shirt. They're all $29.95, no matter what size that you get. And that helps to support this ministry, and we appreciate that. Thank you very much. But more than that, when you wear this shirt, you are going to start conversations naturally. So you better be ready to tell people about the rapture. You better be able to tell lost people how they can get saved. And you better be ready to get something done for the Lord. We're going to talk more about this on our Sunday night Bible study. But again, Phyllis wanted me to say, what about the people who need to pay by check for the t-shirt? You need to email me and you need to let me know what size that you want and what part of the world that you live in, and then I'll email you back and tell you how much for the the shirt is $29.95. That doesn't change. But depending on where you live, because we're a global ministry, you may be in Ireland or Spain or Europe or the Middle East, and it's going to be different shipping rates. And I haven't figured out how to do that by check on the website. So if you need to pay by check, no problem at all. Just shoot me an email and we'll get the conversation started. But there's the link. I'll put it in the chat room one more time. Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. You can now buy the shirts. And as I promised, I have made these available to you, our regular listeners, before they are made available to the rest of the world. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this program was a blessing for you today. It was a tough topic to talk about. It really was. And I had to say some unpleasant things, but man, oh man, if you can just catch a little bit of that end times fire, a little bit of that revival fire, and get yourself revved up and ready to go, I promise you that you'll have a good time at the judgment seat of Christ, but you've got to get something done for the Lord now. You've got to step out of your comfort zone. You've got to say, Lord, give me a mouth that I can witness with. Give me a heart and a desire. Well, he already gave you that when you got saved. Don't ask for what he's already given you. Ask him to give you a fresh unction of the Holy Spirit and to set you on fire and set yourself on fire to get something done. Forget Democrat and Republican. Forget the political process. We talk about those things because this is the world that we live in, but we're concerned with eternal things, and politics is not eternal. We're concerned with heavenly things, and politics is not heavenly. Jesus told the Apostle Paul that he was, that he had ordained him to go preach to the lost and before kings. And, well, that's politics. Pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to do in these end times so that you can fulfill the reason why he saved you in the first place, why he allowed you to come to a saving knowledge of him. And over the next couple of weeks and couple of months, especially as we get closer towards the election, we are going to be spending a lot of time talking about witnessing and sharing our faith and sharing the gospel of the grace of God. And what does a Bible believer need to do to have a positive, enjoyable, happy experience at the judgment seat of Christ? We're going to be talking about that in the coming months a lot. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of this program. Thank you for being a member, a family member of the NTEB family. I am so glad that we are all together as we get ready to take that final flight, Flight 777. And what do we say around here? We say the war is real. The battle is hot. The time is short. To the fight. That's what we say. Lord willing, we will see you right back here Sunday night at 9 p.m. for another Bible study, another rightly dividing Bible study. And in the meantime, have a great weekend, everybody.